Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning's message is from the Old Testament reading, 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 4 through 15. Dear friends in Christ, how many people in the world are wise? What do you think? 1 in 3? 1 in 5? 1 in 10? What do you think? That's a hard question, especially when you consider that age isn't always a factor. True, there's a wisdom that comes with age. Older people have experienced a lot of life, and so they know a thing or two. But I know a lot of children who are wise and a lot of older people who are unwise. What's more, the Bible teaches us that true wisdom is knowing and trusting God and knowing how to help others. If we go by that definition, wisdom really is a rare and wonderful commodity. According to our text, wisdom is something that King Solomon sought. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream and told him that he'd give him anything he wanted. And what did he ask for? Wisdom. Wisdom to rule his people well. He wanted to be a good king. Now, in my younger days, I didn't think much of Solomon's wish. Had I been in his shoes, I would have wished that every wish I wished would come true. That way I could have wisdom and a lot of other stuff like power, wealth, fame. What I failed to appreciate in my youthful desire for everything for nothing, getting everything for nothing, was how insightful and appropriate Solomon's wish was. As I said before, according to the Bible, wisdom is knowing and loving God. It's knowing about people and what needs to be done to help people. Wisdom is understanding yourself, but avoiding self-centeredness. It's delighting in God and in the people God has placed in your life. And Solomon had wisdom in droves. He wrote beautiful proverbs, proverbs which glorify God and give good, common sense direction to God's people. Solomon built a magnificent temple in Jerusalem. He did that for the praise of God and the upbuilding of God's people. After that temple was destroyed, the people of Judah built another temple. That was about 100 years after the old temple was destroyed. We're told that when they dedicated this new temple, people wept. They wept because this temple was not nearly as magnificent as Solomon's temple. And Solomon knew and understood his people. Remember the dispute between the two women that Solomon settled? Two women came to Solomon with a baby, and both women claimed to be the baby's mother. Remember what Solomon did? He said, "Give me a sword. I'm going to cut the baby in half, and you each can have one half." And the real mother said, "No, no, no, don't harm the child. Don't kill the child. Let her have the baby." And Solomon knew that she was the real mother and gave the baby to her. Clearly, Solomon had true wisdom. And you know what? Solomon received power, wealth, and fame in addition to wisdom. After commending Solomon for his wish, the Lord told him, "I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days." The Bible tells us that Solomon was blessed with an abundance of material goods and honor. His glory far exceeded that of any king of his day. It exceeded that of any king Israel ever had. Consider these facts. The Bible tells us that Solomon's palace took 13 years to build, and the queen had a separate palace. The daily provision for Solomon's household included 300 bushels of fine flour, 600 bushels of meal, 10 oxen, 20 beef cattle, 100 sheep, plus other game and domestic fowl. Solomon had 40,000 stalls for his horses and 10,000 horsemen. He received so much tribute from other countries, it was said that Solomon made silver as common as rocks. People came from Asia Minor, North Africa, to see his splendor, to hear his wisdom. God blessed Solomon to overflowing measures. If anyone's cup ran over, it was Solomon's. But sadly, Solomon's wisdom didn't last. His heart turned to folly as he got older. Instead of seeking the Lord and the good of his people, he used his power and wisdom and intellect for self-serving purposes. He got so wrapped up in maintaining his power and prestige that he forgot about the Lord. Solomon taxed his people very heavily, to the point that his advisors were alarmed. They said, "King Solomon, you can't tax the people this much." And he used slave labor to build the temple. He forced his own people to build it. He had 700 wives, many of whom were unbelievers. And sadly, rather than witness to his wives about the true God, he allowed his unbelieving wives to worship their false gods. He even built shrines for these false gods, shrines for his wives to worship their false gods. And eventually, he joined them in worshiping their false gods. Oh, I'm sure he felt guilty at first. But little by little, he compromised his faith. I'm sure he reasoned, "You know, I can handle this. I'm a smart guy. I have wisdom. I won't really forget about the Lord." But little by little, he drifted away from the Lord. In the words of the writer of 1 Kings, "Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not follow him completely." That's alarming. That's alarming because we're a lot like Solomon. Oh, we want to be wise. We want to know God and his love. We want God to give us the ability to help others. But then we get so wrapped up in our work and possessions and recreations that we forget about the Lord. We take him for granted. Consider how we use our time. There are 168 hours in a week, and we dedicate maybe 2 or 3 hours, maybe 1 or 2 hours a week to worship. Not a long time, right? Yet, it seems so hard to find the time to worship. So many other things come up. So many other things take precedence. Same way with prayer. We want to talk to the Lord, but prayer so often gets put on the back burner. Oh, we're wise people. We really are. But like Solomon, we often forget about the Lord. And that's why God sent his Son, wisdom incarnate, into the world. In today's gospel lesson, Luke tells us that the child Jesus grew and became strong and was filled with wisdom. A wisdom that was clearly evident when Jesus was in the temple when he was 12 years old. He sat with the teachers of the Bible, discussing God. He wanted to hear God speak in Scripture. He wanted to be in his Father's house. He wanted to stay connected to his Father. What's more, He knew what people needed, and he was ready to meet those needs. He was ready to carry out God's plan of salvation. Jesus was busy with the business of the Father. Because Jesus was wise, he saw that we couldn't save ourselves. We can't make ourselves right with God. And so Jesus left the beauty and splendor of heaven to become a man. He lived humbly, not in a palace, not in a big house, no powerful friends. He didn't make the headlines. He lived a perfect life of love, meeting all the requirements of the law. And then he gave his life on the cross as a ransom for all our sins, a ransom for all the times we're unwise and we neglect our faith. And then Jesus rose in victory to proclaim his victory over sin, death, and the devil. Jesus saw our need, and he did what it took to save us. You know, we've all known people who thought they were wise, but were really unwise. I call these people know-it-alls. I mean, you can be an expert in your field, and these people will tell you how to do your job. They'll criticize you and tell you you are all wrong. And how do we feel about these people? How do you feel about know-it-alls? Okay. We don't like them. Not one bit. They agitate us. They irritate us. We want to avoid them. We don't want them in our lives. Yet Jesus has the very opposite reaction when it comes to us. So often we don't listen to Jesus. We're know-it-alls. We tell God how things ought to be. We seem to think that we can do a better job than God. And we're all wet. We are all wet. Yet Jesus embraces us. He doesn't avoid us or drive us off in agitation. He forgives us and renews us by patiently teaching us. When we find ourselves being arrogant, when we find ourselves being know-it-alls, then the Holy Spirit convicts us of our unwise attitudes. And he turns us to Jesus. Jesus forgives us and leads us. Our Savior isn't only full of wisdom. He's full of love and grace and mercy. Some have wondered if Solomon ever returned to the Lord after drifting away. Well, I think he did. As you read the book of Ecclesiastes, a book almost certainly written by Solomon, you get the impression that he repented of his idolatry. The author of Ecclesiastes talks about the folly of riches and power and fame and stresses the importance of knowing and worshiping God. There's nothing better, he says, than to be content with the simple joys of life and to know God. Good words. Good words for you and me. As we struggle to be wise, as we struggle to get our priorities right, God is with us, forgiving us when we fall and leading us in the right way, guiding us by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's there, pointing us to Jesus and the wisdom of God's Word. And we are being transformed. The author of Ecclesiastes is so right. There is nothing better in life than the joys that God gives to us and to know our Redeemer Creator, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.